Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. This podcast has been running since May 2020 as we entered the pandemic of COVID-19. The idea behind this podcast is all about heart-centered conversation with my guests. I have been privileged to bring on a great guests on my podcast, and today is also a great speaker, influencer, a trainer, a coach, a person who has so many adventures in his life, who is going to be joining us today. His name is Joey Pallaro from United States of America. And his journey has been amazing. I'm just going to touch upon a few things when I will ask him to share his journey with us. So he's the founder of ELC, FSC Life Coaching. He is a health and wellness coach, speaker, influencer, strategic This is not the right pronunciation, which I ask Joey to pronounce it for me.
Oh, that's okay.
And spiritual warrior. That's actually hit the nail on spiritual warrior, which I will be going deeper into that. So he has been crafting his life. He has gone through his own journey of addiction, coming out from there, then I'm going into another addiction of overeating. So let's bring on Joey to be more focus and tell us about his journey. So welcome, Joey, to my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa.
Thanks a lot, Sam. I've been looking forward to Chai with you.
Absolutely.
We're in the same, one of the same networking groups, and I've gotten the opportunity to plug into your daily content, which always seems to lift me up and others up. And I just love that you call this a heart-centered conversation. That's so important to me, because it's the whole deal for me is in, you know, trying to grow and contribute and be of service to others is really about the journey from my head to my heart. How do I get out of my head and into my heart? Most of the times that's with my hands and my feet, you know, by taking action to align with those forces. But as far as the pronunciations goes, doesn't really matter. You know, I like to say you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. You
know? Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. So tell us, my audience, who Joey is and what is his purpose right now in this present moment?
Who am I? That's a really good question. I am what I pay attention to. I'm what I do when nobody's watching. I get to choose who I am, which is something that I never knew I had a choice to decide who I wanted to be, the type of man that I wanted to be. You know, how do I want to show up in this world? How do I want to contribute to this world? How do I want to be of service to others and my loved ones? And I always thought that I was a victim of circumstance, you know, of, you know, how I grew up or beliefs that were injected through inheriting it, through past life, through how I grew up, through media, through religion, through school. So, you know, what I realized is I have a whole lot more power over who I am than I ever thought. So that's really important. So what I pay attention to beyond my primary purpose, which is to, you know, stay sober and to help somebody else stay sober, because that's the ground floor for me. Without that, there is nothing else. There's no relationship. There's no community. There's no business. There's no health. There's basically just destruction. So that's my primary purpose, and it's foundational. Who I am beyond that is I'm a person who's committed to never-ending personal growth. I'm a person who's committed to, you know, contributing to the world and, you know, helping others along their path, their journey through their challenges, which I love how you always reframe challenges. You always say, you call them adventures, which puts a whole different spin on it. But, you know, I have a company. It's called Efficacy Life Coaching, and ELC for short. And it's a life coaching company, and it was birthed, you know, and created and built on the foundation of my personal history with overcoming adversity, my adventures, so to speak. And I'm a health and wellness coach, and I help people, you know, choose, you know, decide, uncover and discover the type of people that they want to be and help them to design a system to get there. I specialize in working with people who are in recovery from any type of addiction, because that's my path. I think that's, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, you can't lead where you haven't gone or where you won't go. So it's great that I get to have a service-based business that I get to use my strengths and my gifts and my challenges and my difficulties and my failures, which I always saw as, you know, crippling to me, as hampering me, as identifying me. There's a switch in meaning. All those challenges, difficulties, failures, experiences, adventures, which I saw as, you know, I guess, what's the right word? We'll just call it liabilities, are my greatest strengths and my greatest assets today, because I use those to help people who are walking on the same path or looking to walk on the same path that I've walked.
Amazing. That's quite a great introduction. So tell us about your addiction, which you have mentioned in your bio. Give us a little bit of insight about it and how, what was the turning point from there where you are right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like to pay a whole lot less attention to the part of my journey that was how it was, but I will tell you that it definitely included a very rocky road of addiction to alcohol and drugs. And it started at a very young age, about 10 years old. And, you know, as early as that age, it became my number one priority. I had, you know, drawn many lines in the sand over the years and crossed every one of them. And I hurt a lot of people, and I hurt myself, and I caused a lot of wreckage. And, you know, only by the grace of God, so to speak, I've come out the other side. But it's you know, some alcoholism and drug addiction or any disease, you know, I'm a firm believer that it doesn't necessarily matter what the poison is. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be people, it can be controlling people, it could be gambling, it could be sex, it could be food, it could be overspending. Whatever it is, it's all about, it's a soul sickness. And all these other things that look like solutions to us is all about filling that hole up. And then that hole doesn't get filled up, it gets filled up by higher forces. But I tried to fill it with alcohol and drugs. And where that winded me up over the course of two decades is, you know, I had a $300 a day heroin habit. I was homeless. I was hopeless. I felt worthless. I had, you know, separated myself and pushed away anybody that was important to me. And I was, you know, living a very isolated life with no human connection. And, you know, if, you know, really just grinding it out to the bitter end, so to speak. I had, you know, I was 100% convinced that I was going to die an alcoholic death. And I was okay with that. So, you know, I had no zest for life or any idea that there was a way out. And if there was a way out, If there was a way out, it wasn't for me. That's a bottom that I had hit. It's one of many bottoms over the years. You know, they say there's always a bottom below a bottom, and that's been my experience. And you know, on that day, it was August 20th, 2009. On that day, I had reached an end of the line, and there was a family intervention, and it wasn't the first family intervention or intervention by outside forces, whether it be the law, family, boss, friends, whatever it is. And I checked into a detox. And what turned out to be the last time I would check into a detox, but it wasn't the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had no intention of staying sober. I had no desire to stay off of alcoholic and drugs. It's the only way I knew how to live, you know. I knew I could live with it. I didn't think I could live without it. And, but I did check into a detox. I think that was a divine intervention of some sorts. It almost felt like, for me, like I was being carried, pushed, pulled, dragged, beyond my will, into situations, that began my recovery, where my head really was just telling me to run. And I would, you know, I wanted to run. I didn't want to recover. I didn't want help. But somehow I just kept moving forward. And I wish I could say that I had made a decision and committed to that decision and stuck to a plan of action. But it was really more of a divine intervention that, you know, I really can't put into words. And I began my journey of recovery. That's the beginning part of it, you know. My journey of recovery over the course of the past 11 years has not been linear. It's been more, there's been, I have stayed sober and a day at a time and free from any mind-altering substances. But my story was one that I got a lot sicker before I got any better, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I got sober in the 12-step rooms, and I still am an active, you know, member in those communities. And like I mentioned earlier, it's my number one priority that I stay connected there, because what the important part for me is that I stay close to two things. I stay close to the pain. You know, I stay close to what it was actually like, so I can keep that in the forefront of my mind. I can keep that in my heart. I can feel it. I can taste it. And I stay close to the gratitude that I have, that I was saved and I have an opportunity to be of service to others. So I'm a daily meeting maker, but I did find it to be foundational, vital, certainly foundational. Yes. I don't have any, you know, fantasy or false perception that I'll ever be absolved from my addiction, but I can stay one step ahead of it a day at a time. And the most important thing for me is to stay connected to I'll call it God. You can call it whatever you want. I choose to stay out of the debate as far as what that looks like. You know, and how I stay connected to God is by being service to others. But like I said, I over the course of 5 years, and you can stop me anytime, Sam. You know, I'm just gonna ramble on here and tell my story. And if you want to interject or question or bring something up,
I will. You just continue.
Okay.
I'm just capturing
Beautiful.
Some areas which I'm going to interject in some areas. So continue.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So. Yeah, I the obsession to drink and use drug was lifted from me through the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. And I did not get well. I what happened to me was I got really depressed, or I was diagnosed with being depressed, And I took that diagnosis and made it my identity. And I did that really well for a good 4 or 5 years. And I also turned to food, and, you know, it, probably not less damaging, but certainly in the eyes of society, less damaging. But it really, it was the same thing for me. It was me filling a hole. It was me destroying myself, just in a using a different vehicle. And from August 20th, 2009, when I got sober, to March 1st, 2015, where I had hit another bottom and was given the gift of desperation yet again. I was 415 pounds. I was mentally, emotionally, and physically, spiritually sicker than I was when I got sober. And I mentioned that bottom was a pretty ugly one. You know, I was homeless, and I had an intravenous drug habit, and, you know, I was destroying everything within my path, and, you know, without being able to see any light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm not sure what it was. Maybe it was a culmination of 5 or 6 years of recovery that was slowly progressing. Perhaps it was just a decision that I made to take back control of my health and to start living instead of just surviving. What I found through self-introspection and inventory is that I was never scared to die. I was scared to truly live. And I was scared to jump into the stream of life. And when I woke on March 1st, 2015, it followed a very timely dream that I had had. And this might be too esoteric for some people, but I find that there are, you know, deep messages, you know, that come from the higher world or the subconscious through our dreams. And it was a dream that I'd like to share with you. It was a dream I had, and I was visited by my deceased grandfather. And my grandfather was a man who never rose his voice for as long as he was alive. He was very mild-mannered and gentle and loving, non-abrasive. And in this dream, he was screaming at me, like with a sense of urgency, over and over and over again. He not busy being born is busy dying. He not busy being born is busy dying. And when I woke, it was very, you know, it was right there at the tip of my mind, and I wrote it down, and it turns out to be a lyric. It turns out to be a lyric in a Bob Dylan song called "It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding," which is less important, but the message is what's important. It resonated with me. It impacted me. It gave me clarity about my reality, which was, like, you know, I was not living. I was not in the stream of life. I was barely surviving. And it showed me what my problem was. My problem was I was scared to live. And I woke that day, and I became committed to taking back control of my life. I became committed to decide the type of man that I wanted to be, and then to you know, very slowly, persistently, and consistently start moving in that direction with really good habits. And over the course of, you know, from March 1st, 2015 till today, I'm down to 228 pounds. And I've taken no giant leaps. I've taken many, many tiny steps, taken over and over again, compounded over time. And I've built really good living habits for myself, and I'm healthier than I ever was. I feel younger than I ever was, and you know, I'm living a life where, you know, I can contribute. You know, I can help other people along the path that I've walked on, and I'm just, you know, I'm at peace. I'm at peace most of the time. I couldn't say that about my life. I don't feel like I had an ounce of peace even before I picked up a drink or a drug. I was always sort of, I felt uncomfortable in my own skin, and I felt separate. I felt separate, other than, you know. Today I feel one of, you know, I feel I'm a human amongst humans. I'm a man amongst men. I feel like a part of, of life. And that's a beautiful, and that's a miracle. And how I did that is lots of really, really small steps, taken consistently over time. So my business, is I specialize with people in recovery that are already recovering, who want to take their lives above and beyond the 12 steps. And I use a model that starts with, clarity. For me, you know, finding out exactly where I am, like, what's the truth? What is the 100% truth about where I am? Deciding where it is that I want to go, like, what's the goal? What's the destination? Uncovering what my strengths and virtues are. Finding out what's in the way, and designing a system that I need to remain malleable in order to, you know, shift gears if it's not working, in order to bridge the gap from where they are to where they want to go. And it's about building functional health. In order for, you know, to have functional health, there needs to be, you know, it needs to be mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally need to be integrated. So I work in those areas.
That's quite a intensely decided factor of your journey, where you are now building upon those key pillars going forward, which is going to be the key path for you to follow through, as well as taking everybody who is going to be following you through from that journey as well. While you're talking, there were a couple of things which were coming to my mind was, when you are going through with this journey of darkness and everything else, you always looking for a light which gives you a direction. And in that sort of, because you are what I call it, in this, because you have experienced it, I experienced completely different things in my life as well. But what you have experienced is like, even though you were alive, but you were not alive, you were dead in your own skin. You were just floating the life in this world, which is a transient world. As you said, we are connected, mind, body, and soul, completely emotionally connected to ourselves, and our rejuvenating our body as well as our soul, the journey, which is going to be not this journey in this world. But this is just a transient world. We are going beyond this world, where you're going to be connecting into a completely different realm of life and everything. Just come to this place where you are talking about spiritual connection, which you have brought in your deceased father, grandfather, where he is asking you to wake up. Because those signs only received by those people who get these connections, because what I understand from your whole journey, sometimes we have to go through this part of life to understand the meaning of life, because majority of people dishearten or despair themselves, and they decide to take their life and then say, you know what, I can't bear this pain, I need to cut off this pain from my life, and I'm going to do the suicide, and that's it, you know what. But because you were being hang on this sort of a cliff where you were not going down, you were just hanging in there, and there was definitely an intervention of spirituality, of guidance coming to you, asking you to be on that sort of a holding scale, because God or the universe or the universal light want you to deliver the message, the purpose. Now your purpose there is, now you know you have a defined purpose to serve the world in those areas where people are trying to come up from the recovery and helping them go forward. So in regards to the, when you say a spiritual warrior, what do you mean by that?
I think to me, all spiritual things is about shifting perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, if people struggle with higher forces or God or the universe, you know, a more systematic, mechanical way to go about it is about perspective shifts. Mm-hmm. And the most important spiritual tool to me is the tool of gratitude, the spiritual practice of gratitude. When I started practicing gratitude, and that does not mean that I need to be grateful. I believe that gratitude is a verb. It's an action. And practicing gratitude results in the feelings of gratitude. And so I very purposefully, strategically, and consistently practice gratitude. And when I started to do that, there started to become a shift. I started to see both things exist in this world. There's light and dark. There's birth and death. There's yin and yang. There's light and dark. There's, you know, the entire universe is balanced in that way. You mentioned, you know, in order to see the light, I don't think you put it this way, but this is what I thought when you were saying it, is in order to see the light, it needs to be brought into the darkness. So a lot of our challenges and difficulties and painful moments are very purposeful. I think higher forces put them in place so we could turn towards them. So we can, you know, be the light for somebody else. So we can, have the experience of, you know, coming out the other side. Because that, once I have that experience, it becomes wisdom that I could share with others. But intellectually understanding it doesn't do me much good at all. So when I say spiritual warrior, I mean, I am constantly trying to shift my perspective away from the half of me of my lower nature, you know, my dark side, my disease, my lower self, my shadow, whatever it is that you want to call it. It's part of me, but it is not all of me. And it's really about what I'm paying attention to. Like when you asked me in the beginning of this podcast, who am I? I am what I paid attention to. I'm what I do when nobody's watching. So that voice, that part of me that is very real, does not have to define me. I have to be able to identify it, label it for what it is, and shift my perspective to the light. Because I believe when I saw that I'm not all good or all bad is when I really started living in reality. They say, you know, our ego is running the show when I'm either feeling inferior or superior, which is both of those things are completely detached from the reality. I'm both. I'm in the middle. It's okay that I have a dark side and I have a light side. I just need to feed the light, and I need to acknowledge and label the dark, but not try to make it not part of me. Like by me forcing it and saying that that doesn't exist, I'm giving it power because it grows in the dark. I have to shed light on my dark side so it can't grow because it grows in the dark. So I need to be able to acknowledge it. I need to be able to accept it. And I need to be able to make the choice to shift my perspective to a higher place. I think so that's the battle.
Yeah, I think the battle is that, I think you must have heard about that story about two wolves. And the boy asked the grandfather, I got two wolves. And the grandfather says, it's depending on, it's your choice entirely up to you. Which wolf you're going to feed? Is about the anger or is about the harmony? All depending upon us, you know. We started to understand that tomorrow or today, we literally next second we're going to die. So we started to think about it. Dying is, there is no such thing that you are going to be immortal. You're going to die one day. So preparation is important. People, we forget to prepare ourselves because we are afraid of dying. We say, no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And that's where we started to stop this gratitude, because this is started to come into our system because of being neglecting all those sort of things. We stop giving attention to gratitude, to be alive, to be healthy, to see things, to smell things, to completely forget about our five senses. And that's where all this started to come into our life. And that's where the problem started to journey. And when you said, when we started to understand the balance of being in harmony with yourself as with the universe, then where you started to bring in a lot of peace. And I think you must have watched a movie called Kung Fu Panda. Is one of the great movies, and the first one was that, because we look at that movies, or children look at that movies as just to laugh about it, that there are a lot of actions and there are a lot of kung fu and a lot of things going on. But for me, it was learning a lesson. It was not about, the panda was not fit for to be a master or a warrior, because he found something in that skull that's saying that it is you who have all the everything in you who can do things whatever you want to do. It is all about you finding yourself, finding your inner peace, finding inner thing. And then he found that inner peace, and the last one was that finding the truthfulness within yourself. And Master Shifu was been trying to find the inner peace for last 30-40 years, and he literally found it. But Kung Fu Panda was founding in the last episode and found the inner peace in just in very young age. That's how I got acknowledging it, what has gone happened to me. You know what? I will say thank you. What has happened to me? I will say thank you. I was being given this opportunity to bear this. I'll say thank you. It's all about acknowledging it and acknowledging with the pure heart. And that will give you that inner satisfaction and inner peace. And everybody asks, what is happiness? And in my understanding, is it inner job? It's not an exterior job. It's that inside job for finding that happiness. If you think happiness comes from buying a big house or a big car or anything big, that's completely wrong conception you have in your mind. Inner peace is where you find the solace and the contentment, and you say, here I'm content, here I'm very, very aligned. And I don't see what other people are doing. I see my family is with me. I'm congruent with my feelings, and I feel that's what it is all about. I live in the present moment. It's not about the past or the future. Let's live in the present. And that defines your future for you.
Yeah, I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda, but I certainly love the message, which you defined really well. And yeah, I mean that's the battle. When I say spiritual warrior, I talk about perception shifting, and the only way to connect with higher forces, or the inner resources that are higher within, is by staying in the present moment. Sometimes it's easier said than done. It's the truth. So that's a practice that I have to remind myself of, and constantly realign, constantly steer my ship in the direction of that truth. Is that everything, that life is happening now. It's not happening a second ago. It's not happening a second later. It's happening now. How to do that is different for everybody. I find that getting into my body is a good way for me to do that through presence of paying attention to what's happening within my own body, a physical thing. I could change my perception by through my physiology, through my focus, through the meaning I place on things. And really important is language. how I speak to others, and even more importantly, how I speak to myself helps me to stay within the truth. As far as, like, you know, our challenges or our difficulties or our failures or our pain, you know, I've trained myself to ask myself three questions. Like, what's the lesson? What's the blessing? What's the meaning? And all those things, there's always a lesson, blessing, or meaning. And the meaning is always for the greater good, no matter what it is, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like. I know that I am always getting what I need. And it almost never looks like what I think it's going to look like. And it's usually only in hindsight that I'm aware of these truths. It's hard to be able to identify in the moment if, you know, people go through really difficult things. And it's really hard to be like, oh, well, I'm going through this in order to bring me higher. I'm going through this in order to be of greater service to others. There's, you know, everything happens for a reason, and you know, things like that it's really hard to swallow in the moment when you're up against a challenge or a difficulty or in a whole shitload of pain or fear. But I find that to be the truth. So I have to, you know, again, that's part of shifting's perspective. That's part of my spiritual work, is uncovering what's the lesson, blessing, and meaning, whatever it is I'm going through.
Yeah. True, very true. The understanding the inner meaning, because once you started to discover that, you will be able to open up to the new frontier. You open up to the new direction, receiving by yourself. And as we are all humans, and we made mistakes. We are bound to make mistakes. We are bound to be failure in our journey. Because if you don't do mistakes, and if you are not going to achieve your results after making the mistake, because how are you going to learn from those things? And people say to me that, you know, failure is not good. I say, no, failure is the key for your success. Achieving greater result, you need to fail. Otherwise, how are you going to achieve greater results in your life? If you're going to say to me, I never failed, I will not believe you. Because everybody goes through with challenges in their life. Yeah, I understand certain people might receive less challenges. Even the king and the princess and the princess are also getting challenges. They have a different set of challenges. For us, it's a completely different set. They might have a silver spoon in their mouth, but they might be restricted to meet a norm to understand what is the real meaning of their life is. We as a normal people, we can always wish to be a king or a queen, but we always think of that as a luxury for us. But you never know what things are going into their heads. Yeah, what we are anticipating. And there was this story about, this is the recent episode happened to me. So I had a problem in the house. You know, you always look for some reviews on the website and say, okay, I will call somebody who is expert in their abilities to come and resolve the problem. So the guy who I spoke to was a drain company specialist. And I said, you know what, I had a problem. Please send somebody to look at it. And then he says, yeah, we're going to charge you for five hours, such a certain amount, and we're going to solve the problem for you. I said, that's perfectly fine. Why not? So the guy came, he looked at the problem. He says, sorry, we can't find the problem. We can't solve the problem. Because it requires XYZ thing. So I said, this you just did for 10 minutes and you're expecting me to pay you the money? The engineer says, sorry, I can't actually answer the question. You need to speak to the boss. So I called the boss, and the boss literally started swearing at me for almost 10 minutes. Swearing at me for 10 minutes. And I did not retaliate. I just said, okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And he was getting more angrier when I was saying thank you to him. And I put the phone down. I called the engineer. I said, listen, what's exactly the problem? He said, this is the problem, Mr. Dosa, and this is what needs to be done. I said, okay. They said, so your boss would have said the same thing. But he actually swore at me because I asked that I won't be paying for it. that's why he retaliated me, and then he was shouting at me and swearing at me. So you can't talk to the customer like that. You know, you should have a dignity to speak to a customer. You should have a manners to talk to a customer. Long story short, I put the phone down, I paid the money. Next morning, I called in the company to make a complaint, form a complaint about this person. And guess who answered the phone? The director of the company. And he said to me, I'm extremely sorry for my behavior yesterday. I said, you not only lost me as a customer, you lost a lot of people in the customer for you, because I might be your vocal, I might be a mouth where I will be started spreading word about you, but you lost it. Because you lost it. What I wanted to try to tell you over here is that if I will become the same person and started to retaliate to this person's behavior, between him and me, there will be no distinction. So I kept my mouth shut. I just listened, and I can completely understand that person must be going through with some sort of uncertainty in his life or in his business. Everybody is going through with uncertainty in their life and business, but you can't treat people. You can't treat people like a completely pile of dust. So that teaches me a lot of things. You know, it teaches me that I need to congruent with my feeling. As you said, you need to know how your body is feeling. And that's how it tells you, that how you congruent with yourself. And you say, you know what, I am content. I can see what is going on right now. Yeah. How it's going to affect other people. That was the episode happened with me, and I realized that you need to understand yourself first. People will come right, left, and center, tell you a lot of things. How you retaliate is your own wisdom, is your own way of talking to people. And this is a journey. We are all learning. I'm evolving every day. I'm learning every day. As you said, the gratitude is part of every time. You know, it's not about sitting in for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's the continuation of gratitude. You know, every moment you are saying thank you because you are breathing. If your breathing is strong, what are you going to say? You're completely dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gratitude is definitely the secret sauce to living a fulfilling life. And it seems to me, it's always the small, seemingly insignificant things that that bring in the most powerful things in this world. And it'd be a hard sell unless I've personally had that experience for somebody to say, okay, so periodically through the day, and to start your day and to end your day, just take 5 minutes and acknowledge all your blessings, acknowledge everything that you're grateful for. And if you do that every single day for the rest of your life, your entire perspective will shift. Like, you will shift from being blind and in the dark and asleep to being awake. Like, you could never sell that to me, because it's such a small, simple thing that we can do that produces a gigantic result. That's really what I'm all about. I'm all about, finding the tools that can be practiced really quickly, that can plug us into the highest forces. And so, like, I that's what I'm always seeking for tools that I can use really quick. It's not something that I need to have control of all the elements in my environment. I could do it on the spot. I can do it when I'm being accosted by somebody like your story. I can stop and breathe and get present and start to shift my perspective of maybe this guy's going through a really hard time. I mean, I wish I could say I do any of this stuff perfectly, but the ability to stop, breathe, and respond instead of react is showing spiritual maturity. Like I said, I do none of this stuff perfectly, but I definitely practice it.
We are all learning. Nobody's perfect. And this is all journey comes when you are going through with your own life as well. When you learn a lot of things in your life and you start to ponder upon a lot of things and you say, you know what? Life is life, you know. What's going to happen? If I'm going to 5 minutes late or if somebody says something to me, what's going to happen? It must be something. That's why I said to a lot of people, you know, emotional intelligence is very important. You need to be emotionally intelligent. And it's a learning skill. You can learn this skill. And it's a step. Again, as you said, there are four statements. You must have heard about this Ho'oponopono, one of our great colleagues, IPAC Williamson, is also a practitioner for that. And those four statements are very important to tell ourselves all the time. To tell yourself, say, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. And thanking yourself, you know, you're rejuvenating your cells again. You are saying to yourself that you are learning, you are loving yourself. You are forgiving yourself. And you are thankful for being standing on your 2 feet. And this is quite significant. And that's where we actually, because we are evolving our this worldly matter so much, we completely forget. We completely forget that we have to start calming down ourselves. And as you said earlier, 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the night. And if I tell you that we have about 834,000 seconds in a day, and we do not have 5 minutes for sitting down and contemplate, just to sit down and say, you know what, I'm grateful for being alive. I'm grateful to have a roof over my head. I'm grateful that I have fresh fruit or fresh food to eat. Yeah, and that's the nitty-gritty of things. We completely forget because we have our ego comes out. And this is my right to have everything. When you started to have your rights and you started to have this ego fighting together, these two wolves fighting together, saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. And it's entirely up to you which wolf you're going to feed.
Yeah, that's a great story. It's so interesting. Like the ego is definitely there to serve us. But it's when it's operating in extremes that it's a problem. And for me, it's either I am like, I almost never walk into a room and immediately I start putting myself in a position or judging, right? So I'm either inferior or superior. And if I'm at either one of those polar opposite extremes, my ego is running my show. And so, you know, awareness when is huge. Awareness of what you're actually feeling of the situation that you're going into. And you know, I think ultimately, you know, the spiritual war is a war on judgment. You know, it's a war on judgment of ourselves. It's a war on judgment of the world. It's the world judgment of others. And so typically it's trying to stay out of judgment. Something else you said that really struck a chord when you were talking about failure and, you know, everybody fails. And if somebody were to be telling you that they don't fail, they're either lying or detached from reality. And, you know, what I feel about failure is that, like, if I'm not failing, I'm playing it safe. If I'm not failing, I'm staying in my comfort zone. And, you know, growth and opportunity do not exist in the same space with me being comfortable. So that's a really good indication that I'm doing a whole lot more of just barely surviving instead of thriving and living. So it's like, it's necessary. Like it's a necessary part of life. It's a necessary in order to keep growing. And if I'm not failing, I know that I'm not doing enough. You know, if I'm not failing, like, I know I'm playing it safe.
I think that's what I said to a lot of them, a lot of people as well. My daughter is 20 years old yesterday. So she's in a university and she today called me and said, I'm doing my insurance for my car. Can you guide me through a certain degree? I'll say, yeah, sure, I will. But I'll say, take a step forward. What exactly is important to you? take a leap of faith and do it, because she now got 2 years sort of a claim bonus. So she hasn't claimed any insurance on her car at the moment. I said, then protect it. And she said, how many years no claim bonus do you have? I said, I got 20 years no claim bonus. And she said, how could you have 20 years? I said, I always protected mine. So I kept carrying it on. And she was surprised. And I said, listen, this is how you build things, slowly and gradually. You can't just jump upon it. And there are a lot of circumstances you're going to go through. Life is going to bring so many great adventures. Just acknowledge them and enjoy them. And that's where the things come from, the maturity from all of us. Now you are, as a great coach, teaching guiding your coachee about taking responsibility and acknowledging them, and taking that as a blessing that we are receiving those things, acknowledging them. Do not, I said to a lot of people, you know, when you say negativity, find the positive in the negativity. There is always a positive in the negative. And that's how you're going to cultivate that, spin around it. We always look at that there is always a negativity. And as you said earlier, dark and light. And there is always light in the dark. If you can close your entire room with the curtains and it's pitch black, you know, for the moment, you won't be able to see anything. But as soon as you started to conduce to that atmosphere, you can still see in the dark.
Yeah, it's true.
You can still see in the dark. And that's the beauty of it. People won't see that come to them. They are afraid of dark. And as you said, the fear is your weapon, I would say. Use it correctly, you will be successful in life. But people look at fear as something very, very anxiously, and they started to get anxieties and everything. And they'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. As you said, fear of a lot of things. And you said public speaking is the biggest fear of people, who says, I'd rather die than go and speak in front of the people. And I had exactly the same thing. And I remember when I used to hold the mic, I used to put the mic very low so people can't hear me, what I'm saying, what I'm mumbling into my mouth. And then somebody says, Sam, we can't hear you. Hold the mic over here. And then you are getting, I used to get cold sweat from my armpits. And I used to remember that they're like shouting from my armpit. I was so nervous. I'm reading in front of about 60, 80 people. And I remember those days. And now I'm looking at it and I'm standing in front of 1,000 people. And I said, Vienna, it's a piece of cake. But it comes with practice, as we all have to go through with this life journey and learn a lot of things from that.
Yeah, I really like that. It's, you know, you mentioned about building things and how we build things. And part of my background is I spent most of my adult life building high-end custom furniture. So I'm a woodworker and I'm a craftsman. And, you know, some of the process is this basically the same that I use to build habits, that I use to create change, that I, you know, share with my clients in order to get from point A and to point B. Or, you know, it's, you know, taking a very large goal and taking that and breaking it down into really, really small chunks that you can really just take one little step at a time. You know, for me, it's, you would think, you know, I'm just a human being. I'm no better or no worse than anybody else. And like, you know, I've been able to stay sober one day at a time for 11 plus years. I've been able to lose almost 200 pounds, one little step at a time. I started my journey with the very smallest impossible to fail good habits. Like when it came to, you know, changing my health and changing my weight loss, I started with drink 60 ounces of water a day, walk for 5 minutes a day, make my bed, write three things that I'm grateful for every day and three things that I did well every day, which is really important to me because part of why I was killing myself is how I felt about myself. The way my brain is designed, and I don't think that I'm unique, and I don't think this has anything to do with being an alcoholic or a drug addict or recovering alcoholic and drug addict. I think it's a human condition, but my brain is my default thinking is usually only paying attention to where I'm falling short or where I'm not enough or, you know, what I want that I can't get or what I have that somebody's going to take. And so it really needs to be a very focused, concentrated, you know, effort for me to be paying attention to what I'm doing right on a day-to-day basis. So that was really important for me when whether that's trying to stay sober or whether that's trying to, you know, lose the weight and release the weight once and for all is paying attention to what I'm doing right, paying attention to what I'm grateful for, and really focusing on really, really small steps and being consistent with that and just adding a little bit to a little bit to a little bit. It's very similar to building a piece of furniture. You know, it's like you take the big goal, you break it down to a really, 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 really small, impossible to fail goal. And then you take the little baby steps and they add up over time. It's a beautiful thing and it never fails.
I think the craftsmanship, what you do and achieve in your work is also quite phenomenal in terms of you take every step at a time, as you mentioned. And if somebody says to you, there's a big elephant you have to eat, you can't have it in one go. You have to chunk it out small. And you must have heard of a book called Eat That Frog from Brian Tracy. If you haven't heard that book, about the book, have a check.
Brian Tracy?
Yeah, Brian Tracy is a book called Eat That Frog. So if somebody gives you a slimy, a dirtiest frog in the morning to eat, and how are you going to swallow that dirtiest slimy frog? You can't. And in that book, he shows you step by step, small chunks, creating small habits as you already creating yourself and you're giving it to your client. It's all about creating small habits, and habits takes, certain people says 33 days, certain people says 66 days to completely engross into yourself, which means you shouldn't be making a gap in your creating a habit. Once you have the habit created in 33 days or 66 days, that becomes your habit. We have been told since our childhood, brush your teeth when you wake up in the morning. That was a habit been instilled in our head by our mother and father. Make sure when you go to sleep, brush your teeth. So this is the habits that we have been put through. Creating a new habit or getting rid of a habit also requires the same sort of a tendency, you to continue. And as I said to a lot of people, you know, when you started affirmations, well, people say, oh, I do affirmations. I said, do you have a break in your affirmation? Oh, yeah, I do affirmation for 5 days and then in the weekend I don't do affirmation. I'll say, it won't work. And I said to them, okay, let's try it. Do affirmation for 15 days and see the change. They do the affirmation for 15 days. They started seeing the change coming through and they stop. And say, once you stop, it goes back. So you need to have a continuation plan to make sure that you continue with that. Oh, I don't have time. So you need to take time out. You have to have a small chunks in creating great results for yourself. You can't just jump and say, oh, I want to solo the entire elephant in one go. It's not possible. So what you
I like that.
Yeah.
That's absolutely consistency. Consistency is the most important thing in building habits. And you got to set yourself up to win. That's why, you know, having them be really small is important, because each and every, you know, each and every little small step that you take, tiny step that you take, like that's a win for you. And it's really good. You really need to identify, acknowledge, and celebrate wins, even the small ones. They all matter.
Absolutely. That's a celebration part is very important. Where people forget, you know, sometimes you say to some people, say, did you celebrate it? I say, no, I did not celebrate it. I say, no, you do. You have to celebrate that because that creates a memory in your head. This creates a memory in your mind saying you successfully completed that task. And that's quite significantly important for you to remember, your mind to remember that you achieved something. Mm-hmm. And that's where people started to fall behind. And so they never celebrate their wins. They only think about their losing. But that's why the balances have to be important. When you say, you know, when you lose something, when you win something, it balances it out. And you achieve something, greater results in those sort of things. So
that's well said, well said. I do want to mention something before sure. I don't know, we're getting wrapping up, but I think it's important that I address your audience in regards to if there's anybody out there listening who feels like they may be suited for a person like me to help them. I'm offering, currently looking for one pro bono client. Which I will be taking them through 13 weeks of one-on-one coaching, which is a $2,400 value, specifically a person who is in recovery from whether it be alcohol, drugs, codependency, gambling, food, whatever it is, somebody in recovery who is looking to, you know, take their recovery above and beyond the 12 steps. And, you know, uncover and discover the type of people that they want to be and take and go higher. So I'm looking for somebody who fits that mold and who is hungry for change. And I'm sure Sam will be able to provide some links in how to contact me.
Yes.
And I am speaking to people and it will fill up fast. So if that's something that you're interested in taking advantage of, please contact me and let me know.
Thank you, Joey, for that generous offer. I will definitely put this into the description of this podcast so people will be able to get in touch with you. So now this part where I would like to ask you some questions which will connect people to you from emotional level. So tell us about your love for food. Are you a foodie or you are just a natural, you don't fuss about the food?
You know, I typically try to look at food as energy, you know, and, you know, I'm really careful of what I put into my body. Of recent times, and this is part of a presence mindfulness practice, I'm trying to really slow down and I'm trying to really savor and taste and smell and chew. And so it's a practice of mine that I'm, you know, getting better at, but a work in progress in. But yeah, I mean, if I slow down and I truly try to taste it and smell it, and I think about, you know, who contributed and what contributed to making this, you know, getting me to be gifted to have this food on my table, you know, the sunshine, the water, the person who picked it, the people who packaged it and shipped it. And it's as part of a mindfulness practice, I try to get a lot, you know, trying to shift my mindset of as to like, all right, let me get in energy, let me get it in, and then I can move on. So that's how I feel about food right now. I typically lean to using it as fuel, using it to be able to, a way to optimize my brain, most importantly, because I feel that, you know, one of the most important aspects to succeeding at anything is my energy.
Yes.
And the most important thing I could do for my energy is to be putting, you know, focusing on my brain health.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about food.
Absolutely beautiful, because that analogy, what you have used, that gratitude to everybody who has sourced the entire thing from the Mother Earth to the sun and the water and the air and everything, and bringing that to your plate is the gratefulness, the graciousness of that food coming to your on your platter. And then you are testing it and you are saying thankful for that entire bite. That's so graceful to be present in that moment and acknowledging it, because that's how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be, enjoying it. We can't just glub it down, the food, because that does not bring that graciousness in your body. It does bring something, but not that level which you had defined. So are you also, tell us about your one hobby.
My one hobby, well, I like to hike, mm-hmm. and I like to be in nature. I like to be in, on, or around water. That's where I am now. I'm at the beach, and at a friend's beach house. And so I just, my hobby is well, I don't know if I'd call it a hobby. I'd call it a passion or a habit with benefits, but I'm really into cold water therapy. I try to get in cold water as much as I possibly can. I love how it makes me feel. It really makes me feel alive. It fires all the, you know, those feel good hormones, and it increases your metabolism, and it puts your lymphatic system. And it's part of for me, it's part of my commitment to myself to be doing hard things on a daily basis. So, you know, if anytime I could be in nature, anytime I can get into ice cold water, that's really how I spend most of my time nowadays. If I'm not, working on my recovery, working on my health, or working on my business.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank you very much, Joy, for being my great guest today. And I will capture all the information which requires to be on this podcast for a pro bono, which is almost worth about $2,400 for 13 weeks therapy session with him. And that is going to be a life-changing if you are the one in the criteria which he has defined in this podcast. So I will say, if you are the one who is looking to get a greater shift, get in touch with Joy, and he will be able to get this all rolling for you. So thank you very much. This is Chai with Sam Dosa, and today we have Joy all the way from America. Today he's in the beach house, fantastic, sunny, near to the water. What else a person wants, yeah? So thank you very much, Joy, for being my guest today. Thank you, and bye for now.
Thank you so much. I had a good time. Thank you, Sam.